Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, writing most recently at the National Review, about Mr. Trump, President Trump, the Trump administration's worldview. John served as ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration and national security advisor for the first Trump term. John, a very good evening to you. We have points to speak to immediately, and I begin with the first point about Trump philosophy, if there is such a thing, a Trump policy, if there is such a thing. The word tariff is the most beautiful word in the world, according to Mr. Trump. How does that speak to foreign policy, John? Because you say it's used repeatedly no matter what the circumstance. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, Trump has gotten it in his head that tariffs are something that will increase the wealth of the United States and improve our economy as a broad general proposition, notwithstanding decades of learning and experience that tariffs do exactly the opposite, that they misallocate resources, they are a hidden tax on American consumers that they end up paying. It's not the foreign country that pays the tariff, which Trump believes, it's actually American consumers. So his delight in using tariffs also springs, I think, from the fact he doesn't need any congressional approval. He thinks he can do it on his own, although that will be challenged in litigation as the tariffs come. But it's his new tax of choice, and he doesn't announce it as a tax. As I say, he says the foreigners pay it, but depending on what items are tariffed and at what rate and from what countries, all of us could be paying more for consumer goods when those tariffs come into effect.
When the tariffs were proposed about Canada and Mexico, there was great excitement and a lot of anxiety. I talked to Canada several times during the week, and the concern was that this was punitive and would cost jobs in Canada, cost jobs in America. However, since then, there's not been any clarity about the tariffs. And in fact, there are reports that Mr. Trump and Mr. Trudeau speak winningly of fentanyl, for example, or border security. So are the tariffs a rhetorical device, John? Is that how to regard them?
Well, it depends on what day of the week you ask Trump. Some people think that they're classic Trump bargaining tactics, and there's certainly an element of that. Will it be a 10% tariff or a 20% tariff or a 50% tariff? And maybe some of it is just used for intimidation's sake. But the fact is he has indicated in what's known as the congressional reconciliation process, the budget process, that he expects significant revenues from tariffs to help offset the extension of the 2017 tax cuts that he achieved in his first term. So we don't know what the tariffs are. That remains a mystery, but he's contending, and the congressional budget process is including big numbers for tariffs, whatever they turn out to be.
The second point about Trump in the world is the rhetoric around opening positions. The way I've heard Mr. Trump put it, albeit second-handed, is that you aim high and you bargain hard. In other words, make an exaggerated claim for damages or price or what you'll accept as an agreeable offer, and then settle down to the bargaining. Does that describe the methodology now being used, aiming high?
Well, to an extent, but there's a difference between negotiating over New York real estate or filing lawsuits in court in the United States and negotiating internationally. Sometimes the way you go about these negotiations by making claims that are completely unrealistic is that people don't think you're taking a maximalist bargaining position. Trump hardly it was the first person to try that kind of thing, they think you've taken leave of your senses. And that reflects badly on the United States as a whole, spending goodwill that we've accumulated for Donald Trump's own political purposes, which is a mistake.
The Greenland or the Panama remarks, is that the idea of starting at aiming high maximalisms and then back up and talk about it? Because it continues to be a source of friction in Europe. Denmark is very unhappy, and I know Panama is as well.
Well, these are two good examples of how this maximalist approach can backfire on you. Trump doesn't seem to realize that the governments of Denmark and Panama are democracies, maybe not as wonderful as ours is, because they've never elected Donald Trump to anything. But when you go after a politician who has an electorate to answer to, and the voters in that country take what you're saying as an insult country, you're pushing your opposite number, the opposite head of state, president, prime minister, whatever it might be, into a corner, that you're actually getting in your own way. You're making it more difficult to achieve what you say you want by making it politically harder for your counterpart to be able to negotiate. So this is Trump performance art more than negotiation, I think, because at some level he must know that when he's insulting or even humiliating a foreign leader, it's not making it easier to get what he wants.
Is it significant that these are friendly nations, that he addresses these maximalist remarks towards people who have no reason to counter-accuse the United States of bad attitude?
Well, normally you don't slap your friends around in public. You don't try to humiliate them. You don't try to bully them. Donald Trump does that. And that, again, is eroding the goodwill that people have for us. Not because it makes us look strong. It makes us look foolish to ask for things that are simply going to be impossible for the other country to deliver, or because they're so sensitive that they really should be discussed in private rather than forcing people into corners in a public debate.
Disruption. That is certainly true in Europe right now. It's disrupted by remarks that the president and his counselors have made about NATO, about Ukraine, about the future, about counting on the U.S. to provide air cover. Is that a tactic that that benefits Mr. Trump to disrupt whatever the international order is at the moment?
Well, this is a kind of all-purpose word. Everything he does is disruption, and all disruption is good. But that's manifestly not true. Some disruption is good. Some disruption is bad. It's usually considered better to disrupt your enemies and to disrupt your friends. But Trump has that reversed. He's now done something just unthinkable before he took office, voting today in the United Nations General Assembly, along with Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, against a European-sponsored resolution condemning Russia's aggression in Ukraine. Just unbelievable that we're voting with the likes of them, and refusing to condemn what is manifestly the case that Russia invaded Ukraine without any provocation. So, yeah, that's disruption, all right, but it's disrupting our own alliances.
What is the madman theory of international affairs, John?
Well, this dates to Richard Nixon, who in discussions with Henry Kissinger about China said, look, you tell him that Nixon is so crazy that he might even use nuclear weapons. And the reason Nixon and Kissinger thought it would work is the Chinese knew very well that Nixon had a long history of very hardline anti-communism. So that the threat was believable that Nixon might actually use nuclear weapons because of his history and deep philosophical views on the question. Trump and his supporters have completely missed that point and believe that acting like a madman in and of itself is credible, when, as the Kissinger-Nixon example demonstrates, that's not the case. Generally speaking, madness is still madness in international affairs.
Unpredictability, is that a polite way of saying the madman theory? You don't know what's coming next?
Well, the madman theory is kind of the extreme version of unpredictability. There's a lot to be said for tactical unpredictability in dealing with your enemies. Again, when you're unpredictable with your friends, that undercuts the friendship and the alliance. They want to know that we can be depended on. Frankly, we want to know that they can be depended on. And when you break that linkage, and to no apparent purpose, once again, this is Trump undermining our international alliances.
You report that Mr. Trump depends upon personal relationships, and he doesn't seem to be particular about who the object of his intention is, whether it's Mr. Macron or Mr. Putin. Why is he like that, John? Why is everything personal for him?
Well, because he doesn't have the philosophy, as you mentioned. He doesn't have a national security grand strategy. He doesn't do policy. He's not very well informed. He doesn't know a lot of facts about the international arena. So the personal relationship becomes something that he thinks he can control, and that's what he falls back on. And the fact is, dealing with Xi Jinping of China, Vladimir Putin of Russia, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, these are hard men, and they don't see Trump as a friend of theirs. Kim Jong-un doesn't think he's fallen in love with Trump, as Trump said of him. They're looking at their national interest, and that's what they're pursuing in a very determined fashion.
You see that Mr. Trump is approaching two adversaries, Moscow and Beijing. Can he do them simultaneously, one at a time? What would you recommend first, John?
Well, I think one of the grave problems the U.S. faces going forward is the growth of a China-Russia axis, like the Sino-Soviet alliance of Cold War days, although this time China is very much in the driver's seat. And dealing with a threat in Ukraine on the one hand or a threat against Taiwan in the other, they look like they're physically, geographically in two separate places. But in the minds of the leaders in Moscow and Beijing, they see them as linked. And we need to do that, too. You can't try and separate these things. They're all part of a bigger problem.
I'm speaking to John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations, writing at the National Review about the President of the United States' worldview. We're going to turn to a magical word that we hear all the time now, ceasefire, and what are the risks?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.